We're on page 1020. Okay, we're on Pasuk Dalet. We just started Pasuk Dalet last time. Okay, the Pasuk is saying, like we learned the last few weeks, okay? Pesach has to be in the spring, and therefore they have the concept of the leap year. Hashem took us out, therefore you have to bring the Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to have any chametz in the house, because you came out of Egypt, and you have to remember the going out of Egypt all the days of your life. We discussed what the going out of Egypt avidei means, going out of boundaries, limitations, that whole thing. Okay, then the Torah says like this. This we also discuss. You can't see chametz 7 days. In other words, eating chametz begins at a Pesach at noon. Okay, that's what the Gemara learns out. Ach b'yemarishin, like it says, you can't bring the Korban Pesach while you have chametz in the house. Which means, at the time you bring the Korban Pesach, which is after 1 o'clock, after midday, halachic midday, you cannot have chametz in the house. But the sin of not seeing or owning chametz that belongs to you only applies for 7 days. Well, and in outside it's 8 days. But it doesn't begin from the afternoon. The sin was called Bayiron, Bayimotzi, you can't see chametz, own chametz, that only applies from at night. But Loyolim in Abbasar, and it says you're not allowed to leave over the meat until the morning. And this is the din. In fact, even though there's two interpretations of what this means, simple meaning is you can't leave the meat of the Korban Pesach until the morning. There's a din in the Torah what's called noisar. Now, certain meats of certain sacrifices were allowed to be eaten for different amounts of time. Some karbanis were allowed to be eaten, like it says here, l'yem v'layla, the Pesach, okay? Some karbanis were eaten l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. Certain karbanis, let's say, the Torah says, you can eat it for 2 days but one night. So let's say you brought the karban Monday, forget Pesach, just the regular karban. Certain karbanis, you were eating for 2 days and a night. Meaning, you could eat Monday night, and Tuesday. Okay? You're not allowed to leave the meat over until the next morning, meaning would be Wednesday morning. If you did, you transgressed a negative commandment, and you have to burn the meat. You have to get rid of it. You can't.
Can you eat it Tuesday night?
No.
No.
You can eat, but leaving it over is ad boiker in Tarsus. Okay. Certain sacrifices are eaten a day and a night. So again, if you bring it Monday, you can eat it Monday and Monday night, that's it. You can't eat it anymore in the morning. The Korban Pesach, like it says over here, a Pesach ein nechal ela balailo, can only be eaten at night, vein nechal ela at chatzeis, it can only be eaten until the midnight. That's rabbinic, okay? But the Torah over here says you cannot leave the meat over until the morning. That's what it says. The meat that you brought on the first day, which over here means the day before Pesach, you cannot leave it over until the morning. Okay, so it was forbidden to leave the Korban Pesach until the morning. Other Mefarshim say, no, it can't mean the Korban Pesach, because it says Bayem Arishin, and the first day is, you don't bring the Korban Pesach, you have to bring the Korban Pesach Erev Pesach, not. So they learn it means to the Korban Chagiga, because in the Beis HaMikdash, Pesach, they had to bring a Korban Chagiga, and the Korban Pesach. So either it's the Korban Pesach until morning, or the Korban Shlomim for 2 days, whatever it was, you're not allowed to leave it over until the morning. Okay, and that's biblically forbidden.
They eat it all night?
Biblically, you can eat it a whole night. Okay? Now, Rashi says, this is the way Rashi is, not everybody agrees with Rashi, that it refers to the Korban Pesach, because in the simple meaning of the Pasuk, that's what it says. It's speaking about the Paschal Lamb, and it says, don't leave it over until the morning. Okay. But it's interesting, another thing that the Mefarshim explain, it says, Shivas Yomim, you can't eat chametz, and then in the same pasuk it speaks about the Korban Pesach. So it's interesting. In Egypt, the original Korban Pesach that they brought in Egypt, it was not forbidden to have chametz in the house. It was only for the Pesach or all future generations that you couldn't have chametz in the house. But the original, huh? Because there was no concept, then the Torah didn't forbid them.
Well, it didn't matter, they were leaving the house anyway.
I understand, but then it was not forbidden
to have
chametz, to have heat matzah, that eat the Korban Pesach, but nowhere in the Torah by Egypt does it say not eat the chametz with the Korban Pesach. But this is for all, the Rashi says, it's all l'doreis. For all generations, and therefore in the same pasuk that the Torah is speaking about the Korban Pesach, it says you can't eat chametz. Which means, at the time of the Korban Pesach, you can't have any chametz in the house. Okay, but
this they using after the get of the Egypt. They didn't eat masa in Egypt at the night that
they did.
The night that this is the bread of affliction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That they ate and, in Egypt together with the Korban Pesach. There were in Egypt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get the story straight. What happened in Pesach in Egypt? Okay. The Jews left Egypt on Thursday. Pesach that year was Thursday. Okay, that's what the Gemara says.
12 o'clock.
Whatever. No.
Midnight.
That's what happened. Yeah. Wednesday, which was the 14th.
Okay.
15th was Pesach. Okay. Thursday, they left Egypt the middle of the 14th, day. The 14th in the afternoon, they were commanded, well, on the 10th of Pesach, of Nisan. Commanded to take the lamb, tie it to the beds for 4 days, right? Okay. Erev Pesach, which was Wednesday that year, in the afternoon, they slaughtered the Korban Pesach. Okay, the Jews slaughtered the Korban Pesach. They took the blood and they squirted it on the doorpost that Hashem should jump over, pass over, right? Now, that night, they're obligated to eat matzah. But they were not obligated that they cannot eat chametz. That first time, they were not obligated that they cannot eat chametz. They had an obligation to eat matzah. They ate the Korban Pesach before midnight. Okay? And then, at midnight, God killed the firstborn. Power came, said, get out. And the Jews were in the process of getting out until they left Egypt. Now, it also happened, as we learned in the many Maimarim in the morning, that what we say in the Haggadah, matzah zu sha'anu eichlim, the matzah that we eat. Why do we eat this matzah? Because the Jews were so rushed out of Egypt.
They don't have time.
They didn't have time to become, the dough didn't have a chance to rise. So the Mefarshim asking, Chassidus definitely asks and has a field day with this. What do you mean? They're anyway commanded to eat matzah. Why do we eat this matzah? Because when Jews ran out of Egypt, they were in such a rush, it didn't have a chance to rise. Yeah? But the bottom line, they were commanded to eat matzah anyway. Together with the Paschal lamb, Ba'erev Teichlu Matzis. The Torah says in Parshas Vay, you need to eat matzah. So Chassidus explains, there are two matzahs in Egypt. There was the matzah they ate together with the Paschal lamb, with the Korban Pesach, before midnight. That was a mitzvah to eat. Okay? Then there was a second matzah. When the Jews ran out of Egypt the next day, they were in such a rush to go out that the dough didn't have a chance to rise. So there are two matzahs the Jews ate in Mitzrayim. Okay? So here the Torah says, but in Mitzrayim, like we said, they were not forbidden to eat chametz. Together with the matzah, together with the Korban Pesach. Here the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach for all generations in Parshas Bari. When the Torah speaks about the mitzvah for all generations, then the Torah says that you're not allowed to have chametz. Okay.
What's the reason?
Because chametz contradicts the whole concept of Pesach. Pesach is running away from evil.
So,
chametz is evil.
So
like we learned, if you're addicted to something and you want to get away from it, you have to run away from it. Okay.
You have the halacha where it says like eat matzah, don't eat chametz, where it comes like Kabbalah saying.
But that wasn't that night. Not in Egypt. It was for all future generations.
But chametz is ego.
Chametz is blown up, rises, ego, the source of all evil.
Just for knowledge, you know, what type of matzah it was like? This lapa like Kabbalah's
It was flour and water. that well, baked in less than 18 minutes.
Well, that was what we have today, or what we Hillel HaZaken had.
Could have been anyone they made.
Well, it was soft baked.
I wasn't there. I mean, I was there. I don't remember it. One of the two.
I'm just kidding.
It didn't have to be hard. It could be soft.
No, they say in many places in Europe they used to bake matzah. It was soft.
In Iran was soft.
No,
it wasn't soft. It was
Iran
very
hard.
No, originally, sometimes when you would get him home.
Okay, I got it. You guys never agree on anything. It's good. It's fine. It's good. Leave it at that.
What's the significance of that, recognizing it as a leaving of Egypt? What's the significance of that?
Significance of leaving Egypt means leaving the personal boundaries and limitations. We discussed last week.
Yeah, right.
Leaving the personal boundaries and limitations of what your nature is, to go beyond, above and beyond nature.
No, I mean that is connecting to the reason for the matzah that I'm saying.
Because matzah symbolizes, why Kabbalistically are the matzah supposed to be round? You know, the round, the hand shmur matzah is round. The machine matzah is, no, they can make it square.
No, but until the machinery introduction, it was always round. Yeah. Nobody made square.
Why was it round?
It was no talking about that. That's
okay, no. Because number one, no. The pasuk, when it speaks about the Jews leaving Egypt, the Torah says, Ugeis matzah is kilei chametz. Uga means a cake, but Uga also means circle. When the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu when he was sick, okay, and the Medrash says it was Pesach, okay, and Avraham said to Sarah, Lushi vasi ugeis, knead the dough and make for them, make ugeis again. When they came to light, it says, matzis off of Ayachil, he baked the matzis. Why did they bake the matzis? Why did Avraham tell them? Because it was Pesach, okay? But over there, when it speaks about the matzah, it calls it ugeis. Now, what's the uniqueness about Ugeis matzahs? Why are matzahs supposed to be round? What's this Kabbalistic significance? Halachically, there's no reason why matzahs should be round. Kabbalistically, it's a very important thing that matzahs should be round. Okay? Why? The difference between, the uniqueness of something round is there's no beginning and there's no end. In a rectangular table, you have the head of the table, okay. Why by very important political functions, they have round tables. You know why? Because wherever you sit, it's the head of the table. Can you imagine putting 10 rabbis at a rectangular table? No. You know the fights that would go on? They would be kicking under the table. Why are you sitting here? I should be sitting here. Right? When it's a round table, even rabbis don't fight. Because everybody, wherever you sit, is the head of the table. There's no beginning and there's no end. So, that level of matzah, that level of round, represents what's called the makif level, the encompassing level. But we learned the sefer, there's mamala, there's the encompassing level that is too great to internalize in the vessel, and therefore it only influences it in a superficial way rather than a direct way. We're learning in the morning, right? Now, matzah represents the level of emunah. Matzah in the Zohar is called Michla de Monosa, the first night. Matzah is called the Matzah of Belief. Second night, Matzah is called Michla da Asvasa, the food of healing. This is what it says in the Zohar. In the Zohar it says, the first night of Matzah is Michla de Himenusa, the food of Emunah, of belief. And the second night is Michla da Asvasa, food of healing. In fact, the Alter Rebbe had a chassid who was a doctor, yeah, and he used to take But the Alter Rebbe used to give him a matzah, and he used to take it, and he ground it up, and he put it into every medicine that he gave out. Then he used to make their own medicines, right? Mm-hmm. Every medicine he gave out, he would put the matzah of the Alter Rebbe into the medicine, and that would heal the people. And there were many times by Fabrengens, the people were sick, the Rebbe gave him the second night, the Rebbe would give him matzah, Michle Dasfaz, he would say it's food of healing, and it would do wonders about healing people. But the first night, matzah is called Michle de Menusa, food of Emunah. Now, belief, and we just learned this morning, in fact, belief is not an internal thing. Belief, Emunah, is what's called Makif. What does it mean, it's Makif? What does it mean, it's encompassing? The best analogy, the best explanation, what Chassidus quotes the Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara says, Ganva apum machtarta lachmana kalya. A ganif, a thief. When he's about to break into somebody's house, about to break in, he davens to God to be successful. That's what the Gemara says. Now, what's the Gemara telling us here? The Gemara telling us how ganavim live. I mean, what's the Gemara telling us? The Gemara telling us a very deep concept. This thief that's breaking into the house obviously believes in God. If not, why is he praying? If he's an atheist, why should he pray to God? So obviously he's praying to God, he believes in God. At the same time, he knows one of the top 10, don't steal. Even that's kidnapping, but he doesn't know that. He says in the Ten Commandments, don't steal. He takes it literally, don't steal, right? So the question is, it's a paradox. He believes in God, and he knows God says don't steal, and he's stealing. Mm-hmm. How did that work? So the answer is, of course he believes. But the belief, the amuna, is only affecting him superficially rather than directly. Go to any religious Jew. At the time they're doing something wrong. Every person, believe it or not, don't tell anybody, but every person commits one sin once a year. If not, you have nothing to do, Yom Kippur. So every person has to do at least one sin per year to have what to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Come to a Jew, that's a religious Jew, and say, why are you sinning? You know you're not allowed to. No, I'm saying, come to him and say, tell me, you believe in God? He'll smack you in the face. What do you mean? Of course I'm a religious Jew. What do you mean I don't believe? So why are you doing something wrong? Why are you lying? Why are you cheating? Why are you saying Lashon Hara? Why? The answer is, of course I believe. That doesn't mean he doesn't believe. But the belief is superficial. It doesn't affect you in a permeating way. By eating matzah, we eat belief. What does it mean we eat belief? We digest it. It becomes internal. And that causes us to really be connected to God. Okay? So therefore, the round matzah represents the encompassing level that's normally too great to permeate into the internal parts of a person. And by eating matzah, what we actually accomplish is that this level becomes internalized. And that's the concept of Pesach, by the way. Pesach is jumping out from the limitation of us to reach the infinite God. And in order for that to do, we need to internalize this relationship that we have with God. And that's why the matzah is connected to Pesach. And chametz, which is the contradiction of matzah. Matzah means it doesn't rise, it's humility. You want to do chametz. Chametz is the opposite of humility. So it gets in the way of Pesach. So the Torah says, when you have a Pesach, you can't have chametz. Because it's mamish the opposite, it's a contradiction. It contradicts the whole inyan of going out of our nature is we are subservient to God. And by chametz would contradict that whole thing. Okay, now it says like this. Pasuk Hey. Le'isuchal is berachas ha'pasuk. Now the Torah is saying something else. Because the first Pesach, the Karm Pesach in Egypt, they brought it anywhere. Right? There was no separate place. They brought it anywhere they wanted. So the Torah says, for all future generations, you're not allowed to bring the Korban Pesach in one of the gates where God gives you. Meaning, you are not allowed to bring a Korban Pesach, but, as it says in the next pasuk, only in the place that God chose to put it, rest his name there, and like we said, that refers to Yerushalayim. And there's a reason why the Torah never says Yerushalayim. Sham tizbach ha-sapesach ba'orev. That's when you should slaughter the Karm Pesach in the afternoon. Kevei ha-shemesh, when the sun sets. Mayet seitzchem in Mitzrayim, the time of your departure from Egypt. And Rashi right away says, even though they didn't go out of Egypt then, okay, but they were told to go out of Egypt, and the exodus of Egypt began then. So what's the Torah saying over here? You can't bring the Paschal Lamb now, only in Yerushalayim. You can't bring it in your backyard, you can't bring it in whatever it is. Once the Beis HaMikdash was chosen, it was forbidden to bring any korbanos, even the Paschal Lamb. Here there's a clear-cut pasuk about the Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to bring it, and you have to eat it in the proper time. Okay?
At the time, everyone went to Yerushalayim?
When?
At the time of Beit HaMikdash.
Sure. Three. Well,
yeah, okay, fine. You know,
three times a year.
When they came back home? Well, I know the Midrash, you know, they used to go to temples, you know, but when they came home, you know, for Chag?
No, no, no. There's 7 days
in Yerushalayim?
They didn't have to be. They're allowed to go in Chol HaMoed. We're going to soon see the next pasuk. They had to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. It's very interesting. The next pasuk says...
Well, where they stayed there?
You know, it says in Pirkei Avos, it's one of the 10 miracles that happened to Beis HaMikdash. Le'amad Adam l'chaveir eitzah li'amok in Sha'olim Yerushalayim.
Holiday Inn.
The Holiday Inn, yeah? That's where, I bet you that's where the name came from. The Holiday Inn. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, by the way, one second, they didn't have to stay in the Beis HaMikdash 7 days. They had to go up, they had to bring every Yom Tov Korban Chagiga, Pesach they had to bring a Korban Chagiga, also Korban Oila, burnt offering, a Korban Chagiga, Pesach they had to bring three, Korban Oila, a burnt offering, Korban Chagiga that they ate. Now, when they brought a Korban, the next person is going to say they have to sleep overnight. That means even during the year, if you came Monday to bring a Korban to the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says Monday night you have to sleep in Yerushalayim, and Tuesday morning you can go home. Now, in Yerushalayim, Yom Tov was one day, in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Okay. So let's say Pesach was Wednesday, okay? So they brought the Korban Tuesday afternoon, they had to stay the Korban, the Korban Chagiga then also. Yom Tov, obviously, they can't travel. But the day right after Yom Tov, they went home. If they didn't have a chance to bring their Korban yet, not the Korban Pesach, the Korban Chagiga, so they had to the 7 days of Pesach to bring it.
What did they do with all these Korbanos?
They ate them.
Massive amount of meat.
They ate them.
Each one of them would bring somebody.
Family, yeah.
The Korban Pesach, okay, they brought a sheep, yeah? I'm not a butcher. But let's say from a sheep, after everything is said and done, they got, let's say, 100 pounds of meat.
That's more than enough.
Okay, now, the Korban Pesach, they didn't eat as their meal. They ate it as dessert. Okay? That means every person had a kezias, an ounce of Korban Pesach. Now, let's say the animal had 100 pounds of meat. That's 1,600 ounces. That means the Korban Pesach was enough for 1,600 people.
Right.
If you look in the what we say in the Siddur, Seder Korban Pesach in the afternoon, the whole Korban Pesach went in three groups. And there were like 30 people per group, and the last group was never full. Because the Korban Pesach was not the main meal there. The Korban Chagiga, that every Jew had to bring, the Korban Oila, yeah, there was a ton of meat. And they had to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So the people that lived in Yerushalayim were able to get meat very cheaply. There's always an abundance of meat there, from the Korbanos. Okay. So he says like this. Ubi shalta ve'achalta, pasuk zayin. Ubi shalta ve'achalta, you should cook and you should eat. And right away, all the mafashim ask, the Korban Pesach had to be eaten roasted, not cooked. The Torah explicitly says, don't cook it. So what does it mean? Only roasted. Yeah, but over here it says, ubi shalta ve'achalta. Okay? So the mafashim, Rashi, and all everybody wants to say that bishul means general term, like you say bishul on Shabbos, cooking on Shabbos. It's a general term for any preparation of food through heat. So it includes meat, and it includes cooking and roasting and frying. But Rashi says, ubishaltis tzli'esh, which is also called bishul. Huh? Roasted is also any type of that food was considered any type of heat eat, whether it was roasted. But Rashi says bishul means over here, that means not cooking, but it actually means roasting. Okay. Then it says like this, Ufanisa v'abeker, in the morning you can turn your back, v'lachta le'alacha, then you can go home. And Rashi says, and the Gemara says, but Rashi explains, from here we learn out that you have to wait in Yerushalayim, not all of Pesach. The day after you brought the carbon Pesach, you have to sleep over, the next day you're able to go back home. But the Gemara learns out from here, by the way, anytime you bring a carbon, during the year, whatever it is, you have to sleep in Yerushalayim that night, and then you're able to go home. Why? I mean, the logic seems to be very simple. Hashem doesn't want us to, you know, let me get out of here. Yeah, I did my obligation for God, I brought the carbon, now let me go home. Hashem said, take it easy, stick around for a while, show that you like the place, go touring, spend some money in the stores, you know.
Keep economy going.
Go traveling a little bit. No, they have to sleep over in Yerushalayim that night. By all things.
It's good for economy.
They're going to have to pay for hotel, probably.
Of course, they would bring their own tents.
No, they stayed the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, but those days, the Holiday Inns were a bunch of tents.
That's true.
Room A to B.
10B.
Yeah. Okay, now the Torah says this is a very interesting pasuk, because the Gemara learns out a very interesting din from the way the Torah says. So think this. Sheishes yom teichel matzis. 6 days you should eat matzah. On the seventh day, Atzeres LaShem Elokecha is a Yom Tov. No, Shvi Shel Pesach. Leisasa Melochi in Alas Dua. So right away, the Gemara asks, "How could that be?" Another pasuk says, "Shiva Siyomim Teichel Matzis." 7 days you have to eat matzah. Here the Torah says, 6 days you eat matzah. What is it? Is it 6 days or is it 7 days? Okay. So Rashi says like this. Simple meaning is 7 from the old, 6 from the new. In other words, the simple meaning is that the first day anyway you had, besides the first day that the Torah already said you have to eat matzah with the Korban Pesach, another 6 days. That's the simple meaning. One day you ate already, so it's another 6 days. But then Rashi says, Dover Acher. You know, in davening we say, yeah. In Rabbi Shmuel, yeah. Just to show you, we say things in davening, you have to figure out what they mean. It says like this. Okay, let me the last one. Okay. Kol davar show you, it says like this. And the 13 things of Rabbi Shmuel, okay, that's okay.
That's Korbanos?
In Korbanos, yeah, the women don't say it. Don't worry about it. No. Don't worry about it.
I say it so, because I'm worried about it.
You are so holy. Okay, I'm going to read in the English, because this is this din, and this is the classic example that is given for this din. When a particular case that is included in a general law is singled out to instruct us concerning something new, it is singled out not only to teach concerning its own case, but it is to be applied to the whole of the general law. Got it? It's as clear as mud. Which means like this. When the Torah says, it teaches us that the seventh day of Yom Tov, there's no obligation to eat chametz, to eat matzah.
7 days?
7 days you can't eat chametz. That's the Torah says, okay? But now think of it like this. The Torah says one pasuk, 6 days eat matzah. And then the Torah says 7 days eat matzah. Which, by the way, implies that it's a mitzvah that you must eat matzah. You just take the pasuk at face value. 6 days eat matzah. 7 days eat matzah. Which would imply every day of Pesach, you have to eat matzah. And we know the only time you must eat matzah is the first night of Pesach. Right? Yeah. But the Torah says here, 6 days. Another place says, 7 days. So it says like this. From there we learn out that the seventh, this is the way the Torah works, the seventh is only optional. And from there we learn out, it doesn't only go to teach about itself, but it teaches us about the rest of the rule. So therefore it means that just like the seventh day is optional, all 6 days are optional. How about the first night? That is a separate pasuk at night, ba'erev toichlu matzis. So this pasuk teaches a very weird thing, by the way. Okay, the Torah says like this. One pasuk, 6 days eat matzah. One pasuk says 7 days eat matzah. What does it teach us right away? The Gemara says, so seventh is excluded from the sixth, which means seventh is optional, not mandatory. But the fact that the Torah says it that way teaches us not only is the seventh day optional, all 6 days are optional. So the obvious question is, if that's what the Torah wants to tell us, why doesn't the Torah just say, eat matzah the first night? Huh?
Yeah.
It hacks a chaynik, basically, and it says, 7 days, 6 days, and then we learn out, 7 days optional, and therefore all 6 days are optional, but the first night is mandatory. So why does the Torah say all this? Why in the world is the Torah saying, because what the Mefarshim ask? Why is the Torah saying, Sheshis Yom Techo Matzeis, which implies, simply, that 6 days you must eat matzah, when it's not true? So the answer is like this. Through the concept, it's no obligation to eat matzah. By the way, it's interesting that our Rishonim and Achreinim that learned from this whole thing, an interesting concept. They learned from this psukim and this mashma like that, the Ramarash holds like that, whatever, that there's no mitzvah to eat matzah all 6 days. But if you do, you get a mitzvah. It's not a mandatory mitzvah. It's not like the first night you must eat matzah. Even though halachically only the first night is mandatory, the rest of Pesach is optional based on this whole thing. Nevertheless, they in halacha, some poskim write, the fact that the Torah says the expression 6 days eat matzah, 7 days eat matzah, teaches you don't have to, but when you eat matzah, you get a mitzvah. You can't make a bracha, obviously, because you're not obligated to eat it, but if you eat matzah during Pesach, you get a mitzvah.
If you miss one, you have to do it.
No, it's an optional mitzvah.
So you don't have to eat.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, like, don't say you're okay.
It's optional mitzvah.
There are optional mitzvahs.
Really?
Let me ask you a question.
Tefillin is optional.
Is shechita? No. So. That's the all mitzvah. Shechita is a mitzvah. Yeah. When the sheikh checks, he makes a bracha. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Okay, when was the last time you shechted something? I don't mean a person. When was the last time you slaughtered an animal?
I slaughtered a man.
I said, man, that's not, what? If I don't want to eat meat, do I have a mitzvah to buy an animal, slaughter it, to eat meat? If I don't want to eat meat. Okay, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is an optional mitzvah. If you want to eat meat, then you have to do shechita. There's a mitzvah called mezuzah. Yeah? What's the mitzvah? If I want to live in the street, I want to live in the street in camping my whole life. No, without a tent. I want to be homeless my whole life. Yeah? Chas v'shalom. Okay, I got it. Yeah? Let me ask you a question. Do you have a mitzvah to buy a house to put up a mezuzah?
No.
What does it say? If you have a house, you need to put up a mezuzah. What is that? It's called an optional mitzvah. It's called reshus. Believe it or not, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of divorce, of a get. Gittin is one of the mitzvahs. There's no mitzvah for a husband to divorce his wife, to do the mitzvah of a get. Of a get. Right? What's the mitzvah? If, God forbid, you separate, you're breaking up, you need a get. Right? That's the mitzvah. So there are optional mitzvahs. Right? Mandatory. Tefillin is not optional. Tefillin is not optional.
Let me tell you, what the value is. When they say must, is more value or optional more value?
Oh, I was going to come to that soon.
Yeah, that's my point.
So I just want to know. So I don't have to eat matzah on the other days of Passover.
You don't have. You now have to eat chametz. I can't eat bread. You can't eat chametz, but you don't have an obligation. I can eat meat and potatoes every day. I don't have to wash.
That's right. Right. You can't
eat chametz. Right. You can't go to McDonald's.
Right.
Unless they have a Pesach to commend you. But you can't. You can't. There's mitzvahs. But by the way, if I buy a house and I put up a mezuzah, I get a mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah that I must do. So the same thing with the matzah. Some poskim write that the fact that the Torah uses the expression 6 days eat matzah means if you do it, you get a mitzvah. But there's no mitzvah, you have to do it. So it says like this. So why does the Torah use this terminology? And not only that, look in this pasuk. The Torah says like this. 6 days eat matzah, and that seventh day is a holiday. Right? Which just take it at face value, the Torah seems to imply, and that's what it does, by the way, that by eating matzah 6 days, you will come to the seventh day of Atzeres Hashem Elokecha, of this Yom Tov to God. Okay? You come together, you eat, you drink, and you get to be warden, and so on. What does this mean? What happened on the seventh day of Pesach? Sea split. Kriyas Yamsuf. What is Kriyas Yamsuf? Like we discussed always Pesach time, Shvisha Pesach. Okay? According to Taisus in Erchem brings down a Medrash, and we mentioned the Soy Shvisha Pesach, that's what you talk about. The Jews, unlike the movie, by the way, that the Jews crossed the sea from this side to that side, the sea was here and they crossed the sea, that's not what happened. According to the Medrash, Taisus brings down, Ba'esi tzad sheyordu, ba'esi tzad olu. That's what Taisus says. From the Medrash, Taisus and Erchem. Brings the Isa, but Medrash would have, that's what the Medrash says. Which means, they went into the ocean, to the sea, they made a U-turn, and they came back on the same side. Okay? According to that Medrash, that's what the Medrash says, they didn't accomplish anything really by going across the sea. Like this, you go across, you get to the other side. So how do you go? The sea split. But here they didn't accomplish that. They went in, they made a U-turn, and they came back on the same side. So simply the answer is to get rid of the Egyptians. You got to get rid of the Egyptians somehow. But then the question is, that's the only way God could have gotten rid of them. God could have opened up the ground, the Egyptians would have swallowed in. Like Koyach, right? Hashem could have made a mountain over their heads and they would have all died. I mean, just to save the Jews, there's a lot of ways of doing it. They didn't have to make this whole tumult about Kriyas Yamsuf.
So how he would show up himself if he would do the other way? Hashem also has
an issue. Hashem also has an attitude.
Wants to show off.
Yeah, you have an interesting God, by the way. It's not the one I know of. So it's explained like this. Ocean, and this is important to understand this pasuk. Ocean, half the world is ocean, approximately. Half the world is ocean, water, half the world is dry land. The Medrash says, Kol ma sheyesh b'yabosha yesh b'yam, v'chol ma sheyesh b'yam yesh b'yabosha. Any creature that exists in this dry land exists in the ocean. The ocean, you have a whole world. It's much bigger, there's more water in the world than land. There's a whole world on. You ever see movies of under what's doing underneath? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable what's going on. The whole world out there. Okay? No politicians, though, thank God. But they have their own issues, by the way. The greater the person, the fish, the swallow up the younger one. Just take in today's world. The big guy swallow the little guy. Same thing. Okay. So what's the difference? So what's the difference between Yam and Yabosha if everything that's in the Yam is in Yabosha? Okay. So the difference is very obvious. When you look at the Yam, all you see is water. Like the pasuk says, "Kamayim la yom achasim." It's only water. You don't see anything else. What's on dry land? Everything is visible. Everything is visible. In davening, we say, "Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam bad ha'olam." From the world to the world. What do I mean? From the world to the world. So it's explained, there's the concealed worlds of God, and there's the revealed worlds. There's the worlds of godliness that we see, we're aware of, nature, miracles every so often. And then there's those worlds of God which are completely concealed, meaning they're too great to be revealed. They're too great to be revealed. It's not the permeating level that we see, it's the hidden level that we don't see. What happened to Kriyas Yam Suf, and this is accomplished by 6 days of eating matzah. What's going on there? The Yam became Yabosha. What does it mean, Yam? Hafach Yom La Yabosha, meaning all the levels of godliness which were normally concealed and hidden and not revealed, at Kriyas Yam Suf, Yam became Yabosha, meaning the hidden world of godliness, meaning the infinite level of godliness, became revealed. And that's why the Jews said, Ze Keli Va'advehu, this is my God, as the Gemara says, Rasa Shivcha LaYam, the maidservant, the lowest Jew, at the Yam Suf saw more than Yechezkel ben Buzi, the greatest of the Nevi'im, saw in the throne that we read about on the Haftarah of the first day of Shavuos, the throne of God. There was a greater revelation of godliness at Kriyas Yam Suf than there was when Yechezkel ben Buzi saw the throne and the chariot of God. Why was that? Because Kriyas Yam Suf meant Yam became Yabosha, meaning the hidden worlds of godliness became revealed. What causes that to happen? What happened that made the hidden world of God revealed? So yes, it was Nachshon Ben Aminadav jumping into the ocean, the Mesiras Nefesh. But here the Pasuk says what it is. By eating matzah 6 days, that makes the seventh day Atzeres LaShem Elokech, which eventually was the concept of Kriyas Yam Suf, which is, this pasuk is much later, but what Kriyas Yam Suf happened. We said before, matzah is the encompassing level, which is the concealed level, the hidden level of God. That represents Seviv Kol Almin, Alma Diskasya, the concealed worlds. It's a world that's so concealed, highest and lowest, beginning and end, are all equal. By eating matzah, meaning internalizing this level, it said by eating it, you internalize that level of Kedusha into ourselves, that makes the person such a vessel, the on the seventh day, Atzeres LaShem Elokech, he holds back, Atzad, he holds back all the revelations of godliness. That's caused by a Jew eating matzah 6 days. So that's why the Torah says, even though Lucheira, bottom line is there's no mitzvah to eat matzah 6 days. But why does the Torah six and seven, then we learn like this and like that and like this and like this, and we come to the conclusion, only the first night, nothing else. So why didn't the Torah just say that? The answer is because the Torah is teaching us, in order to come to this level of seven, which is Shvi Shel Pesach, you have to have the preparation and the introduction of eating matzah.
This is so important. Why do you
not
have
to now let me get to your question. We have a few minutes left. Let me ask you a question. What's higher? Optional things or mandatory things?
Mandatory.
Chiyuv v'rashus.
No, optional.
You're
free to choose.
Boy, Gala. This is Persian, whatever it means.
It means the...
Bravo. Bravo, bravo. It means the Kala's coming. That's what it means. Boy, Gala. The Gemara tells a story like this. Lepsheshis was blind. Lepsheshis of the Gemara was blind. And there's an argument in the Gemara, who, if a blind person is obligated in mitzvahs or not. It's an argument in the Gemara, is a blind person obligated in mitzvahs? So Rav Sheshes, who is blind, said, whoever tells me the halacha is that a blind person does not have to do mitzvahs, I'm going to throw him a party. Why? Because look how great I am. I do it anyway, even though I'm not obligated. Look how great I am. I do it even though I'm not obligated. Then somebody told him what another rabbi said, what you said, God la mitzvah v'aisa, mimisha eina mitzvah v'aisa. One who's commanded to do something is greater than one who's not commanded to do it. So then he said, whoever will tell me that a blind person is obligated in mitzvahs, then I'll throw him a party. Now, logically, in the secular system, a volunteer, logically, is more valuable than a paid worker. A paid worker, you have to do it. A volunteer, you don't have to do it, and you do it, so a volunteer, l'cheira, is greater than the paid worker. But not in Yiddishkeit. Not in Yiddishkeit. Why not? You ever notice kids when they are not anymore kids today, you know, when we were growing up, little kids wanted to fast. At the age of 6, they already wanted to fast. And Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av and Sukkot and Pesach and you name, they wanted to fast. Then they get older, after Bar Mitzvah, they're not interested anymore. Let me get out of it. Yeah. What's the reason? If you're not obligated in a mitzvah, the Yetzer Hara doesn't come to you and waste his time with you. You're not obligated to do it anyway. Who cares if you do it, you don't do it. The Yetzer Hara is not going to use his forces to get you to sin. So therefore, you have no fight. You ever notice a person not obligated to do something, there's no fight against him. Because the Yetzer Hara says, why should I waste my time with this guy? He's not obligated to do it. Let him do it, let him not do it. It's all the same. Who cares? I'm going to go bother the guy that's obligated to do it. I'm going to get him not to do it. Right? So therefore, the Gemara explain that because when you're obligated to do a mitzvah, the Yetzer Hara works more. So then, therefore, when you're obligated to do a mitzvah, you're greater than one who's not obligated to do a mitzvah. Okay? That is from the simple halachic perspective. Chassidus comes along, turns everything around.
Kedar kam b'kodesh.
They take all the bad guys, make them good, and everything is turned around. Chassidus explains that Rishus is greater than Chova, greater than obligation. For instance, there's an argument in the Gemara, you know, the Chazam repeats the Amida, Shachris, and Mincha, because those are mandatory tefillahs. Arvit is an argument in the Gemara, I'm Gamliel, Rabbi Shua, is it optional? Chova, Rishus, all back. The Brod Halacha is, it's optional. Therefore, the Chazam doesn't repeat the Amida because... You repeat the Amida for those people that don't know how to daven. But if it's not mandatory, what do you have to repeat it for? But Chassidus in Kabbalah say that you know why Ma'ariv is optional? Because it's so great it can't be commanded. It's too great to be commanded. Wow. And all the things in Torah that the Torah says are optional in mitzvahs, when Torah speaks optional mitzvahs, or optional things, it's because it's too great. God says, I can't command you to do it, because not everybody is able to do it. It's too great of a thing, and if I command it, means everybody's able to do it. So by not commanding, I'm basically saying, it's too great to command people to do it, and therefore I can't command it. So in that respect, the Rishus is higher than mitzvahs. But not in all things. What?
An example of something like that, because I'm thinking of things like Lulav, which is also so amazing and so...
It's mandatory.
But so what's not mandatory that's so great, though? What would be an example?
Eating matzah 6 days. Might have.
Things so like that. Is more important than Shachri and
Mecha? No, you have to daven all three.